Charlie, good morning.
Morning, Tess. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
So to start off with, for those who may not be aware of the situation, could you give us a little bit of an insight into the economic situation in Indigenous communities?
Yes, Tess. The issue is that in Indigenous communities, there is a complete lack of a functioning economy. Now, what I mean by that is that there is a total lack of jobs and opportunity. There's a lack of businesses and there's a lack of access to financial institutions such as ATMs and FPOS. Now, to solve this, we've got to look at means to engage Indigenous Australians in the economy. And I believe that the solution to that is business. And from remote areas in particular, that's cultural tourism.
And so what measures have, I guess, been tried to address this lack of a functioning economy?
Look, a lot of government money has been spent trying to promote business. The recent Indigenous procurement policy is one launched by the Commonwealth government, whereby 3% of contracts of all government spend have to go to Indigenous businesses. Within these, there are special considerations for remote areas. However, I believe that the policy has made a bit of an oversight in the fact that it is difficult to acquire a government contract if there are no businesses in a community in the first place.
And so you mentioned as well before there, as well as businesses, perhaps cultural tourism could be one solution. Could you build on that a little bit for us?
Yes, Tess. There's significant demand for cultural tourism from Indigenous, from tourists, rather. Recent research from the Western Australian government found that 75% of people were actually interested in engaging with Indigenous culture, but many found it hard to find. They didn't know where to access these experiences and whether they were genuine or not. So we need to look at ways to make these experiences more genuine and to give tourists a way of accessing them. So there's a lot of current solutions. There's about 50 apps out there on the market at the moment that seek to link tourists with genuine Indigenous culture. And in remote areas, this is probably one of the key areas of what I would say is competitive advantage. Is there has to be a reason for people to want to visit these communities, and the culture that is available in those areas is definitely an advantage for Indigenous people.
Is there a clear way forward, I guess, with going about establishing a tourism system that you speak about?
Look, the way forward is by establishing a reason for people to visit these communities. You have to make them want to fly out into the middle of the Northern Territory. And Australia has a unique history, and the demand for that is definitely there. So to use business as a way of promoting that is definitely a way forward.
And just before I do let you go, Charlie, I know that one of the criticisms, I guess, as well, it's a topic for discussion, I guess, would be one of the ways to put it. The government's involvement in the prosperity, I guess, would be the word, of these Indigenous communities. Where would government funding come into this situation, if at all?
Part of the research that I'm doing at the Centre for Independent Studies is actually looking at empowerment of Indigenous people in their own right. So we're looking at corporate funding here. We're looking at starting businesses off as small and medium enterprises. There's not necessarily a need for major government funding. There is government funding in the form of grants, etc., but there needs to be a focus on Indigenous Australians taking control of their own affairs and starting to economically develop in their own right.
Well, Charlie, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
No worries, Tess. Thanks for having me.